In St. John, very first chapter, we'll read some scripture here just giving background. Starting with the very first verse, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Then drop down to the 14th verse. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." And then if you'll go down to the 14th chapter of this same book and reading the 6th verse, if you'll notice, this is, if you've got a red letter testament, this is Christ speaking. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then if you'll just go right on down into Acts, the 5th chapter, and the 29th verse, here Peter speaking, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And here, I want you to pay attention to this. Here he said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And then Christ here in that 14th chapter, in that 6th verse, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you and I, when we read this, I realize we're living in a day and a time when people want us to be tolerant of all faiths, of all religions, and put them on the same equal footing. But yet Christ here, he said, "No, no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you and I, it comes down to that same thing as what Peter said there. We ought to obey God rather than man. And it's time for us to realize, no matter what the government wants to recognize, no matter what anybody wants to recognize, you and I, it comes down to the very thing. We must accept Christ as being the only way. We must accept Christ as exactly what He come to do. A plan of salvation for whosoever will. And here He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That includes any faith, any religion, anybody, anywhere in the world. When He said, "No man," that also means, woman, we must come to it by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we try and come any other way, He said, "You're the same as a thief and a robber." And it's an easy thing. If we want to say what's right, it's the words that Peter said. Who are you going to accept then? Are you going to accept what Christ said here? Are you going to accept what some man said? When Christ said, "No other way, no other one can anybody come except by me." No man, no matter who he is, will be accepted unless he comes through me. You and I today, we can lay all things aside and latch on to this and know that if we truly believe God, when our life comes to an end, if we've lived according to what God laid down, we don't have to be afraid of what we'll face. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You and I realize this day and time, you'll hear, and it just something that I have never been able to get my mind around. You hear just constantly, several times a year, somebody wanting to propose somebody else to be a saint that we can pray to and get our prayers answered or going to them. And yet Christ's very word said, "I'm He. I'm the mediator. No man can come unto the Father except by me. You and I, if we cry unto any other, we bow our knee before any other, we pray to any other, we wasted our time. Why? The very Son of God come and hung on Calvary, bled and died and rose again to be that mediator for us. And you and I, if we cry, go any other way, what are we saying? What can I cry? What you did was not good enough. There's not a one that's able to take care of me. You're not. But God said, it's my Son. He must be the only one that you accept. Because Father will accept no other sacrifice than that Christ gave to be an atonement for our sins. You look at what a price that Christ paid there. And yet, you know, in our mind we think that was a long time ago, because I've been hearing that same message from the time I was a kid. And I'm almost 62 years old. But Christ is here 2,000 years ago. That seems like such a long time ago. But this is Wednesday. If you mashed your finger on Monday, it would still be sore today. And you'd say, that's still fresh in my mind. When I think of that hammer or whatever hit it, it just makes me cringe all over. 2,000 years ago was just like Monday in the eyes of God. That's how fresh it seems to God of being the one that had to turn his back upon his Son as he hung down Calvary, paying the price for me and you. Why should we say that God would be tolerant to let us give up to try for someone else in the place of his Son? He seen what it called. It's too fresh in his memory. It's too fresh in Christ's memory. He paid the price. We will never find a time when that won't be fresh in God's memory. Well, because it was his only begotten Son, they were willing to pay that price for me and for you. And if we don't accept that, we're going to be turned aside. And you know, I hear in the news people that they're talking about what they worship around the world, the idols that still are worshipped in the world today, the false gods, those that have never been anything but just was a man walking on the earth, or some stone that some man made up, and they fall down and worship it. And it was nothing, but yet Christ come proving that he was the Son of God. What we read to you there in 1 John, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was there in the beginning with everything with me. Without him there was nothing to me. Then it said the Word was made clean and dwelt among them. Then John is beginning to tell them about it. There's one who was before me that's coming, that he's going to come before me, be prepared before me. And he's coming in with younger in the body here in this life than John would by 6 months. But John realized that he was before him. Why, he had already explained exactly what it was. You and I today, it makes no difference what man might say about it. Christ was right there with the Father when he said, let us make man. And on that very day, he seen down the cross there what it would take to redeem man back in favor with God. You and I today, God still sees the sin that we commit. He knows all about it. He knows even more about it than we know our own self. And yet, he was still willing to pay that price. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that I've met in my lifetime But you know, nobody has given me as much problem as Herbert has. That warfare I fight is with this old man. And you and I, you know, we might look at our brother and sister and we might say, you know, I really love so-and-so because of their stand and what they do for God. But you know, I'll have to say my own self, because I see all the places that I have failed God. And though I've asked God to forgive me, and though I know He has, I still don't like me because I failed God. And I look at everybody else, and I think how much better they are than I am, because I see where I fail. I don't see necessarily the places that you fail. You and I today, we need to come honest before God and realize, without the Son of God, we're nothing. And without Him, we could never make heaven our home. You and I, that's why Paul said, I die daily. Paul knew how many times he failed God. And he even said, in the word, all that he had suffered, all the beatings and everything that he had suffered, that was nothing in comparison to what God had laid up for him. Why, he realized, though he had endured all of those things, that was not enough to earn him what was waiting for him. It was still a gift from God. Because of what Christ had done, not because of what Paul done. I thank God for Paul, for a man that was willing to bear the persecution, the care of the gospel, and he did, to record the word that God given, that you and I might have the books of all that we have today. Paul tells Christian people exactly what God really requires of them and how they should live, better than about any writing you're going to find. Why? Because Paul, he had been on both sides, and he had been in the church with a form of God in it, thinking that he was doing God's service, but then realized what a difference it made when he met the Son of God. The world is full of people today that's in church thinking they're doing God's service, but they know not the Son of God. But yet he's still standing to be that mediator. For me and for you, if we want it. You know, I was listening into the news. Some big temple, mosque or something that that was attacked and suffered a lot of damage. And they said that was a reproach to all religions and everything. And yet, you know, the very way that those people teach and insist that their people live is a reproach to the very Word of God. You and I today, we need to come back to the Word of God and accept none other. You know, I feel sorry for people that are so blinded that they will give their life for a false doctrine, give their life in hopes of earning a reward that's been promised to them by some man that's standing in a tall tower, yelling out a tool, promising them things that they will never receive. Why? You die alone. The only thing that promised to you is hell and destruction. Why, the God of all God, He said that's what's reserved for you. And you and I, if we pray to any other than the Son of God, that's what awaits us for. We're denying the very thing that comes to give us power, the very one that shed His blood, that we might be redeemed. If we don't accept Him as our Lord and Savior, then we've been out here, and there's no way we can be right with God. We need to come down humbly before God, realize the price that we paid that we might be redeemed, and accept it. And know beyond a shadow of any doubt what it is to have the Spirit on the inside. You know, it's pitiful when you think of these false religions and the people that deceive by, but it's even more pitiful when you think of the people that sit in church and listen to the devil deceive them into thinking they're okay when they have not the Spirit on the inside. You know, according to the Bible, when we get right with God, that Spirit takes its abode up on the inside. Christ said, I go to the Father to pray that He sends you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. You and I today, if we don't have that dwelling within us, that's that well of water that bubbles up. That's when you're all out alone and you need a blessing and you begin to pray and talk to God. That's what begins to minister to you on the inside of that Spirit of God that's dwelling there. And it will start to overflow when there's nobody there but you and God. Why? Because that Spirit on the inside begins to commune with the Heavenly Father. And it begins to show on the outside. That's what lets us know when we go to do something wrong, we shouldn't do it. It speaks to us. It lets us know. Your heart rate will change if you try and override it. It gets harder to breathe. There's all kinds of things. God will communicate to you, do you know beyond a shadow of any doubt, if you've got that Spirit on the inside. But if you don't have it, He said, you're not mine. And you and I today, even if we're sitting in a church that has the name of being an on-fire church, if we're not on fire, if we don't have the Spirit on the inside, we're lost. Being in that church does not make us a born-again Christian. It's that experience with us that makes us that. We must have that experience. You know, I can remember back years ago when first started out, it was a wood. We were building a building, and they got this wood to come in, and it had to be, because where we was building this, it had to take a lot of heat, and this wood was a fire-retardant wood. It had been treated, and you could throw it in a fire, and it would not burn. It just turned black, and it lay there, and just smaller, and finally end up just sort of turning to an ash if you kept another fire burning around it long enough, but that wood itself would never blaze. because of the way it looked, this one guy, when we first started, he wasn't aware of that, and he loaded up in the little short pieces oil. I'd say a wheelbarrow and a half of it, put it in his pickup, he was going to take it home and use it for kindling. Well, it was a day or two later that they started talking about it, and he said, well, I've got a bunch of that for kindling. I know I can start a fire with it. And the boss said, if you can start a fire with it, I'll give you $100. The man never did come to collect his $100. You know, that's the thing, I'm afraid a lot of us sitting in church today, we think that we're fireproof because we're in some church that's got the name of being on fire for God. But you and I, when we go into hell, we're going to find out it wasn't what we thought was made us fireproof. The only, you know, I like that song. I can't remember how it goes. But it's something about the only fire I ever feel that's burning in my soul. That's the kind of fire that's good. That's what you want. And if you don't have the fire on the inside, you're going to eventually be thrown into the fire. But if you've got that fire burning on the inside, when you stand before God, He's going to own you as He is. You know, what we read to you tonight, Christ come to make the way. You know, None of us could have lived good enough to make it to heaven. None of us. Except Christ come and become our Savior. None of us could have made it. And, you know, here, so many times, these words have rung in my ear. We ought to obey God rather than men. You and I, that should always be in our mind and in our heart. I ought to obey God rather than men. Because each and every one of us, when we stand before God, that's all that's going to count. It's not going to matter where the whole world thought you was great. It's not going to matter if everybody was pleased with you. If God wasn't, that's all that's going to count on that day. And you know, today people, they just think that I'll get by, it'll be okay. Long as I think it, things is all right, it'll be okay. But you know, the only one that matters is God's opinion. And if you've ever been, if you've ever been on a job where you had a, what they call a hard-nosed boss, that it was his way or else, you'll know. It makes no difference how good you do. If it wasn't according to his way of doing it, it wasn't good enough. Well, you know, that's the way God is. But the thing I like about it, though I've had to do things that I knew was wrong to satisfy a boss when he was building something, and I knew it was wrong, and have to tear it out later and do it right. But that's what he said to do, so I'm doing it. But you know, when you come before God, he's always right. He figured out what was right to start with, and it's still right. And you and I, we don't need to question, God, is this the best way? Because he's already got that figured out. Christ was the best way. Because if you search the Bible out, you'll find he searched everywhere to find out if there was somebody else, some other way that it could be done, and Christ was the only way. So you and I, we're not going to find another way after all this time that we can get around Christ and still make it to heaven. He is the way. While we get some song to sing, I beg you, don't let the devil slip you a counterfeit or make you think what you're doing is good enough. Christ laid down exactly what's being required of us. And, you know, if we might sympathize with people that have fallen for a false doctrine, but that's no reason to try and justify. We might sympathize, but you might want to reach out and try and teach them and tell them the truth. Because after all, when they stand before God, no matter how sincere they was within their own heart, that's not going to justify them in the sight of God. You'll find in the Bible that devils feared and trembled, but yet they weren't right. You and I, we must come before God and repent and surrender totally unto him. While we sing one verse of a song, will you come? Christ is your Redeemer. And if you don't put him first in your life, then you're cheating your own self. Because according to the Bible, God said he'll have nobody else before him. And me and you, we must put Christ first in our lives if we want to have the Spirit on the inside. If we want to truly be a born-again Christian.